Now back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us on the line as a first-time guest, Terry Walker, who is the Sheriff's Department Liaison to Animal Control for Eaton County. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Well, thank you. Good to talk to you today.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Terry, the reason why we asked you to be on the show, among others, is because of an article that appeared in the State Journal over the weekend, last weekend, that said that there is going to be a meeting coming up on January 18th at the county courthouse dealing with basically some issues related to the ordinances in Eaton County. Can you talk a little bit about what's going to be discussed?
I sure can. Basically, what's happened there is we had quite an outdated ordinance that myself and the prosecutor got together and took a look at it and decided it needed updating. So we, over the last year, have just basically done an amendment to the ordinance, which cleaned up the ordinance so it would more correctly reflect the current state laws and also some of the practices that are going on in Eaton County now, which differ from when the ordinance was originally written.
Well, give us some examples. I mean, what struck out at you that just said, hey, this has to be rewritten?
Well, for example, in the ordinance, it talked about the dogs needing to be licensed at 6 months of age, and state law had changed that several years ago to 4 months of age. The main reason that happened is, of course, the main purpose of, or one of the main purposes of licensing dogs from years ago, clear back to 1919 dog laws, was that, you know, there was a concern for rabies. So in order for a dog to be licensed in the state of Michigan, they have to be vaccinated and show proof of vaccination in order to buy the dog license. Well, protocol for the veterinaries years ago used to be that you couldn't vaccinate dogs until they were 6 months of age. Therefore, the state law didn't require licensing until 6 months of age. That protocol changed years ago, and they started vaccinating dogs at 4 months. So therefore, the state law changed to cause dogs need to be vaccinated at 4 months of age. And, of course, our ordinance had never been updated, so, you know, we were still at six. So that was just one example of things that were quite simply needed to be fixed, which we have done.
It sure seems like when I'm looking through it, there's a lot of crossed out stuff, you know, like you're just literally eliminating a lot of lengthy descriptions and then putting a rather short or brief description that makes it look like it reads a lot clearer.
Well, that was our intent also. I had a legal background for between 25 and 30 years, and the prosecutor himself, I believe, is a little bit over 30 years. And between the two of us, when we were reading this and we were scratching our heads as to what it said, we said, boy, if this is difficult for us, this has got to be painful for the general public. So you're exactly correct. That was a goal. How well we actually did it, I guess that remains to be seen, but that was certainly one of our goals.
From my own personal opinion, I've felt that with the change in state government, there's been a whole lot of kind of forced enforcement at your level. The state no longer has the finances to really go out and have any enforcement at the at their level. So it seems like having a stronger ordinance at your level would make some sense.
Well, I think that's exactly true. The important thing I feel is that we get all the counties and municipalities that do their own enforcement, that we kind of get everybody on the same page, particularly those of us that border each other. So I think it's going to be an issue for the future to work together a little more closely than we have in the past.
Well, we'd like to talk about regionalization of and enforcement, but one thing I want to bring up on this particular effort here is, do you expect there to be any particular heated conversation? Is there anything about the change of this that's been brought up to you that people have already been crying for and wondering, why are you doing this, or do they misunderstand things? Can you give us a little insight there?
Well, the main thing that has jumped up at me actually caught me very much by surprise, and that was an article that was in the paper here last weekend. It says animal control division of the sheriff's office would no longer be authorized to give or sell animals for the purpose of research or experimentation. And that is something that hasn't been done for years. That was changed by directive of the sheriff. Clear back. Actually happened in spring of 2008, where it became aware that that was going on, and it got looked at, and that got stopped by directive. Again, it wasn't prohibited in the ordinance at that time, which we have, you know, taken care of that, of course, during the cleanup here. But that's raised its head like it's a new issue that we are now making changes and no longer going to do that, which it's been stopped years ago.
Yeah,
so that's misleading, and I think people are you know, wanting to go back and talk about that, and it's really a non-issue at this point.
Anything else? Property rights are mentioned, things like that?
Property rights, it says language stating pet owners' property rights and their animals has been removed. Hasn't really been removed. It was added to. We were changing the definition of an owner to include the property owner. In other words, when you went out and there was a problem animal and you spoke with someone about it, they'd say, well, that's not my dog. Well, you have a dog house, the dog lives here. Well, I know, but he just showed up one day, so therefore you can't hold me responsible for him.
Uh-huh.
So he's saying he didn't have a property interest in the dog. Well, actually he did, or she did, because, you know, they're allowing the animal to live there, and you accept certain responsibilities when you allow that animal to live there. So that was kind of, we expanded the definition of the owner of the animal. We didn't really take away from it.
Either from a chore, responsibility, or even a financial perspective, does the world change any differently for you if this passes, and how is it before and after?
No, actually, it isn't going to change anything. We've been able to work with what we had. This was more I want to say almost a service. When people look up this ordinance online, they should be able to read it and understand it, and it should be more straightforward. The biggest change in this ordinance that's going to affect us is the decriminalization of the violations. We have changed this entire ordinance from before they were all 90-day misdemeanors. We have changed them to civil infractions. In the old ordinance, the only two civil infractions were dog barking and failure to show dog license. We have decriminalized this whole ordinance, which gives us a variety of tools to more easily, I guess would be the correct way to say that, do the enforcement. Under the old ordinance, everything, or almost everything, had the possibility of a jail sentence, which means people had the right to have a jury trial, and it would tie up significant time of the prosecutor's office and of the court system. Well, as you know, a lot of these things were minor enough that it really wasn't worth that, so they didn't get handled. This gives us a whole other set of tools to work with minor violations to clear them up before they become a major problem.
I think that changes in a large way, how you run things and can run things. So that sounds like a pretty impressive movement just by the mere stroke of an ordinance.
Man, go ahead, Terry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say to you that, and I understand the logic of that, because at one time I had a barking dog incident that took me into a courtroom, and it was showing a commercial of my dog that ran in the Super Bowl that got us just a fine as opposed to a jail sentence. But it occurred to me that it was really crazy that I was going through a trial, and what was this costing to the community to do this when it just seemed like a fine was more appropriate.
Exactly. And most of those things, that's all it was going to happen in the end, was a fine. But they spent hours and hours and hours and hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to get to the point of something that should have had, let's say, a $75 fine and, you know, a corrective notice.
Right. No, it makes total sense. Terry, I'd like to shift gears a little bit from this. One of the issues we've talked about quite a bit with animal control in Ingham County is the issue of dog fighting. What kind of an issue is that in Eaton County? Are you dealing with it quite a bit? And how has the prosecutor been in terms of helping you with prosecutions when you have come up with them?
As far as actual animal fighting, we have not had the direct arrest for that. Everybody on staff, including just this last year, has gone to training seminars as to how to watch this and how to document this. We have worked with Ingham County on some people that were suspected of animal fighting that have since moved over into our county, which are being closely watched. We do see the direct result of animal fighting almost on a weekly basis, particularly in pit bulls that are brought in. We find that, you know, there's old scars, there's even fresh scars sometimes, and I think where people actually take these dogs and abandon them after they're not successful or whatever their determination is, why they would get rid of a fighting dog, and they do abandon them in our county. So we deal with it on that level. We have not yet found an active fighting ring, although that's not to say they're not here. They move around quite a bit. So they might be in our county 1 week, and the next month they might be over in an adjoining county. And that's kind of what we're looking at here. We have been talking about trying to set something up regional so everybody is better notified of what happens in the adjoining counties. As it stands now, the only way you're going to tell is if there's been an actual charge and a conviction, whereas if we can keep track of investigation, ongoing investigations, I think that will be of service to all of us.
Terry, we've only got about a minute left, but if someone suspects something is going on or they're concerned about it, what should they do? How do they get in contact with you in order to report what it is that they're seeing?
Well, we're kind of easy to get a hold of here because we go right through central dispatch. So a 911 call and say have a suspected dog fighting ring, or we have a suspected animal abuse, that will put them right in touch with an animal control officer who will take the call and respond usually first on the phone and then make arrangements to meet with the party in person. So that's very unique. We've been doing that now for about a year where we have the officers actually dispatched right through 911.
Fantastic. Well, Terry, we wish you the best of luck in terms of keeping that clear because, again, how people treat their animals is a direct reflection on how this community is, and we want to see that practice go away. So whatever you can do on it, we would appreciate. So go ahead.
I was just going to say thank you, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak on this. These are issues that are near and dear to my heart, and you're exactly right.
Well, we appreciate your coming on the show. We've been speaking this morning with Terry Walker, the Sheriff's Department liaison to animal control in Eaton County. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to continue the conversation this week on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear our show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link. Got some ideas, suggestions, questions? Email us at mmpets@1320wils.com. Join our Facebook page at Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. You can upload your own pictures, make comments, and interact with other pet enthusiasts.